podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Larry Matsuwaki.
Well, as you can tell today, I'm not Pastor Joey. I'm not wearing black. All right, that's a privilege for me to share the word with you today. I'm Pastor Larry. And last week, I had the privilege to minister together with Alex in our church in South Korea. And you know what blessed me about our time there as I was talking to some of our church members is that what happened was some of them were going to church. They lived like an hour or 2 hours away. And they were willing to travel so far just to fellowship together because they were longing for fellowship. They were longing for encouragement. And I want to encourage us, come on, you can make that 30-minute travel. Come on, we have no excuses. If they can do it, you can do it, all right? And we got to visit the world's largest church as well, 700,000, probably over that by now. But that was so inspiring. We were standing there and saying, Lord, one day. You know, one day for our church in Korea. Okay, anyway, it's a privilege for me. One of the reasons why I'm sharing today, too, is because my parents are here, and my dad got to visit our sermon planning strategy meeting as we were this week talking about the sermon, and my parents are in the back there. And maybe you can stand up, Mom and Dad. Okay, let's give them a big hand. All right. Yeah. They couldn't make the walk down, okay? But My dad is full-blooded Japanese, got saved at 14 years old through Vacation Bible School, through missionaries in Hawaii. My mom is a full-blooded American Indian, got saved by a Baptist mission on the reservation at a very young age, and they both met in Bible school. And so that's why I'm doing missions, because the missionaries reached my parents, and that inspired me. Well, it's so great to have all of you here with us, and if you're new, we're going through the book of Genesis since last year, okay? And we're coming to the life of Abraham, and I wanted to break it down like this in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. We read about God speaking to Abraham, and I like that because in verse 1, it was like God was imparting faith to Abraham. Go from your country, your kindred, your father's house, you know, and to the land that I have for you. And then in verse 2, he inspires vision. And he says, I'm going to make you into a great nation, and your name will be great. And it was like this mighty vision that he had. And then in verse 3, he says, I will bless those that bless you. And it's talking about a blessing and an anointing that he's going to walk in and carry, which is actually for all of us. We can claim that as well as Abraham's seed. But then we're going to look today at verse 4, and it's talking about Abraham's response to what God said, and this is walking in obedience. It says in verse 4, so Abraham went. So that's what we're going to look at today and break this down in how, through the life of Abraham, how can we walk in obedience? And what is God calling us to do as the people of God? And I want to encourage you that I firmly believe that nothing happens by accident. The steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So that means that God divinely brought you here to hear this word, to be accountable to this word because he wants to use you. Can you turn to your neighbor and tell them God wants to use you? Come on. God doesn't call any pew sitters or any seat sitters in church. Come on, he calls us to go and to make disciples. All right, let me open in prayer. Father, I thank you today, God, that you have called us, you've anointed us, God, to do and obey your word. Father, I pray that you would anoint our ears to hear all that you have for us. I pray, Lord God, that you would anoint our hearts. Lord God, let it be open, Lord God, to receive all that you have. Now open our eyes to begin to see the greater things that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to look at Genesis 12, starting in verse 4. And it says, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. So Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. In the first part, the Lord spoke to me from this one verse. Three words jumped out at me. The first word is submission. In order for us to walk in obedience, it's going to take submission. The second part, we read that Lot went with him, and we're going to see that our faith will influence others. And the word that jumped out at me was mission. And the last word, when it says Abraham was 75 years old, that jumped out at me is the word ambition. You're never too old to serve God. Can I hear an amen? Come on, from old people here. Oh, no. Okay, now here we go. Three things. The first part is, so Abraham went as the Lord told him. This is talking to me about submission to obey the voice of the Lord. When I first read this verse, the Lord was reminding me of young Samuel. And it was reminding me that we're never too old, we're never too young to hear the voice of the Lord. This is how Eli the prophet was encouraging Samuel how to hear God's voice. In 1 Samuel 3, verse 9 to 10, it says, therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. And the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, because the Lord had spoken to him at least two times before this. And he said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. This is how we should respond when we begin to hear the voice of the Lord. And we've gone through this before to remind all of us. The question is not, is Jesus speaking? No, he's speaking all the time. The question is, are we listening? Because our minds and our hearts are so distracted by the things of the world all the time, phones, media, all this stuff that's going on, distractions of goals and all of this, it's kind of like boggled and caused this fuzziness over our mind that we're not clear to hear the voice of God. But he's speaking all the time. I want to encourage us because, you know, as I was growing up, you know, I'm around an environment. Of course, my parents have been pastoring a church for almost 40 years. So I've been around the Christian world for so long growing up as a young person. I remember my mom would always tell me she would see visions and dreams. She would see mighty angels of the Lord, and the Lord would speak to her. And I remember hearing these words and stories, and I would be so inspired. I said, Mom, when is God going to speak to me? When is God going to speak to me? And I remember it was one meeting that we were attending, and this evangelist was speaking, and he called me out of the crowd. He said, young man in the blue shirt. And I said, yes. I stood up, and he says, the Lord has a call on your life. And I was crying, and I went to the front. And as I went to the front, I remember I was asking, you know, because I've seen so many people, sometimes when they get prayed for, they fall down, and they call it being slain in the spirit. So I asked my mom, what do you do when you get slain in the spirit? And she said, you always ask God for a vision. So I remember I went down to the front, and it was my first time, and I laid his hands on me, and I fell on the ground, and I remember I was just asking the Lord, give me a vision, give me a vision. And I saw a vision, my first vision, I saw Jesus ascending into heaven, and he said, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And then I saw him go up into the clouds, and then I saw the sun shining through the clouds in the shape of a cross. And I got so excited. I got up. Everybody's gone from the church. I didn't realize that I was on the ground for over an hour. You know, such a short vision. And I was like, on the ground forever. And I went to the back. The only people that were left in the church was my parents and the janitor of the church. And I went to the back and I said, Mom, guess what? I saw my first vision. And she said, what did you see? I began to tell her what I saw. And she starts crying. And I said, Mom, why are you crying? You should be happy for me. And she said, that's the same exact vision that I saw before you were born. And it was like a confirmation of like, oh, God's speaking to me. And he's got a call on my life from even from birth. That was a reminder of from a young age, because I was at that time, maybe I was about 13 years old. The Lord began to speak to me, and I began to start seeing visions and dreams and start hearing the voice of the Lord. And I want to encourage us that many times that as we're learning to hear the voice of the Lord, sometimes like for me, sometimes I'll see a verse of scripture, and by faith, I've got to step out and share that word. I remember I was in one prayer meeting, and there was a time of prayer, and they were asking for people to come up and pray. And I said, Lord, if you have a word for me to share, show it to me now. And I remember when I closed my eyes, I saw a page of scripture, and it said, separate yourselves. And I'm like, oh, great, awesome. You know, I got a word. So I went up, and I took the microphone, and I said, the Lord says, separate yourselves. And then it was like, nothing. I didn't get any other verse. There was no highlighted, you know, light on the rest of the verse. I'm like, no, Lord, come on. What's the rest, you know? And so I said, maybe if I say it again, you know, it'll come out, you know, more. And so I said, the Lord says, separate yourselves. and still nothing. You know, I was like, no. And so I went down. Then the pastor comes up, and thank God for a great pastor, and he came up, and he finished the verse for me, and it was something like, the Lord says, separate yourselves from the world and come back to him and serve him with all your heart. And I was like, yes. And he says, if that's you, you know, come to the front and kneel before the Lord. And I was like the first one to come down. Thank you, Lord. I was so amazed. But, you know, that's how the Lord began to open my ears, to begin to hear him. And it was a process of me, you know, because I don't hear an audible voice. It's like a still small voice. And sometimes it's just a prompting or a picture of the scripture. And I just step out by faith. And as the more I just step out and I step out by faith, the more clear and clear it gets, to the point where now I'm like, oh, okay, I know that's God. I know he's prompting me. You know, and so I'm led in that way. Submission is total surrender to the Lord. And that's where we need to be. In the beginning of the year, you know, when I do weddings for couples, I'll meet with them and talk to them. And I'll ask them, okay, how did you guys get saved? How did you guys get together? And I was so impressed by this one couple. And when I met them, Alex and Dorothy, and they were sharing about how, Alex was sharing about how the Lord was speaking to him. Pastor Scott Duma came and a couple of years ago and prophesied over his life that he would be going to nations. And he prophesied that verse of scripture in Isaiah 6. You know, it says, here I am, send me. And he says, you need to obey the voice of the Lord and all of this. And so as he's sharing with me, you know, his story, I said, oh, do you know I'm going to Korea in a couple months? Maybe you can pray about going with me. And, you know, I thought, well, they're getting married. They probably need to go on a honeymoon. He probably wouldn't go. But lo and behold, they didn't go on a honeymoon. And his wife let him come with me. And it was the greatest trip ever. I think not only for me, but I believe for him as well. The Lord began to speak to him and use him. And you know what was amazing was the church asked me to not only to preach in the morning, but he asked me to do a six-chapter empowering leaders seminar, you know, in the afternoon. And I'm thinking, how in the world is it going to happen? So I asked Alex, can you please help do two chapters? So Alex, poor Alex, man, he was doing worship in the morning, helping worship, and he was even singing Korean songs, you know, and then he helped me teach. And, you know, I just saw his faith level go to another notch. And it was all because, you know, he was saying he wasn't sure. It didn't make sense. You know, why pay that expense? Why step out? It was so last minute. He had all these questions. But when he stepped out by faith, God began to use him. And I want to encourage us. That's submitting to the voice of the Lord. We're not exactly sure, but when we step out, boom, we see God move. God loves faith. It pleases him, and we need to step out more. I like this about Samuel. As he grew older, you know, he began to speak even into the king. You know, he approached King Saul. And in 1 Samuel 15, 22, what happened was God told King Saul to wipe out totally this one city, and Saul disobeyed. Saul kept the goods of the land and took it back. And so Samuel said this in verse 22, but Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. What did King Saul do? Instead of wiping out that whole city, he kept the good of the animals and brought it back and use that as a sacrifice to the Lord. You kind of read that like, what? What's wrong with that? He made a sacrifice. But the Lord is saying, no, obedience is better than sacrifice. Then it goes on, you know, in verse 23, it says, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. You know, you may think this word is very harsh, but think about that. You know, the Lord wants us to be quick to obey. And if we don't obey, the more we say no to the voice of God, the further we're going to get from him speaking to us, the further we're going to get from that relationship with him, and we're slowly being turned over to the dark side. Come on. The Lord's saying he wants us to be quick to obey. Stubbornness. Don't get so stubborn and just say, no, 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 not me, not me. No, I don't want to be used. No, we need to be quick to obey. You know, obedience is one of the most scariest things to do. And one of the most scariest things that we've done as a church in 2011 is we determined we were going to buy a training center that cost $8 million. In 2011, we stepped out by faith, and we wrote this check for $375,000. And it was a super huge step of faith. It was scary faith, but we all felt in agreement. This is what the Lord put on our hearts to do. 2 years later, in 2013, we stepped in to our facility, and we raised $2 million, and we still had even that $8 million thing to go. So we had still $6 million to go. But I'm here to tell you that by July of this year, we're going to be debt-free. Come on. The Lord is so good. The Lord is so good. That when we take steps of faith in obedience, we see God move in miraculous ways. How are we able to take steps of faith? It's only until we come to a place of we're willing to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus. Why is that? Jesus is calling us as his disciples and saying, you got to die to yourself. You got to die to your identity. You got to die to your pride and the things that hold you back. See, Paul knew that. That's why he said this in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, the Lord is saying that we need to die to ourselves in order to submit, in order to walk in 100% obedience to the Lord. We've got to die to ourself and our identity and our pride and to dare to step out and say, Lord, I'm not sure, but I know that you would ask me to pray for someone. It's surely not going to be the devil to ask me to pray for someone. So it must be you, God. Okay, I'll just by faith go and pray. Or go, God, I'll go and talk to this person. Come on, the Lord is using us and speaking, wants to speak through us, but it requires us to die to our selfishness and our pride in order to be used by him. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Come on. The next one is in Genesis verse 4, it says, and Lot went with him. Our mission, our faith will always influence others. We know that Abraham's faith was imparted. It was kind of like it inspired Lot. Okay, and I need to ask this question, whose mission are you following? Who do you follow? Are you here serving God? Are you worshiping God? Are you coming to church because you love God? Or are you here because you want to see that special somebody? Ooh, you know? Or are do you go, you know, to a job, you know, because of the opportunity and the salary? Did you pray for the job? Do you feel like God is calling you? Do you have peace about going to that job? Do you have peace about going to that country? Or are you just going because they offer you this carrot of this PR status, you know? And we need to ask the Lord, God, do you want me there? You know, whose mission are you following? It was like, are you going to be a man of faith like Abraham? Or are you going to be like Lot, just following somebody else's faith? Somebody else's blessing? No, the Lord wants us, you know, to be men and women of faith, walking in obedience and submission to the Lord and honoring and serving him, because when we are men and women of faith, it's going to influence and impact others. Paul is encouraging Timothy, and he says this in 2 Timothy 1:5, I am reminded of your sincere faith and the faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Timothy was inspired by the faith of his grandma and mother, and it dwelled within him. But what happened? Timothy was facing a city of Ephesus that was full of idol worship, and there was so much seemingly opposition. And so Paul had to encourage him, come on, Timothy, rise up. There's faith in you. It's been imparted even from others. And he says in verse 6 and 7, for this reason I remind you to fan in the flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying of hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. And so Paul's encouraging Timothy, come on. You know, don't shrink back. Don't get fearful of the situation. No, God has given you a power, love, and a sound mind. And we need to walk in the greater faith and a greater anointing. And you know what young Timothy, timid Timothy, did? He rose up in faith and he says, okay, I'm going to lead this church. And he led one of the greatest churches in Ephesus. This is a young guy that had some fear issues, but the Lord used him with a faith that was inspired by his mom and grandma, now rose up within him, and he influenced others to be men and women of faith. You know what I'm so encouraged about here in Singapore is that God sent us a gift of a man. And that is Pastor Joey Bonifacio. Can we give the Lord a big hand for Pastor Joey? Why is Pastor Joey here? Because we saw that God wants to build something great here in Singapore. God wants to use our church to be at the Antioch of Asia. And we're going to reach nations even through this church. The Lord wants to build this church strong. He wants to build it as a mighty hub. And you know, the greatest blessing of Pastor Joey is he's a great strategist. And he can position people in the right places. And it's been so amazing to be under his leadership. And I'm just sitting there many times of just, you know, hearing him speak. And he's, even as he's conducting meetings, and I'm just in awe even of the gift that God has given to him. And I realize God has placed him here for this season to help us build this church strong. You are in the best place at the right time in the greatest season of the church. It's going to be great and awesome. And I want to encourage us that now is the time for us to build our faith, to be men and women with a mission, knowing that God has called us for something greater. Come on, turn to your neighbor and tell him God's called you for something greater. Come on. And the last thing, it says Abraham was 75 years old. Ambition, okay? Ambition, it's on fire with no excuses. It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter how young we are. It doesn't matter how much we know or don't know. The Lord has called all of us to do his will. I love this about Apostle Paul in Romans 12, 11. It says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Never be lacking in zeal. Come on, we're living in a season of the last days. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back again, but I know it's soon. And so don't waste this season. Don't waste this time. Never be lacking in zeal in doing the work of the Lord. Abraham, it says this about him, that he did not weaken in his faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced. Everybody say, fully convinced. Fully convinced. That God was able to do what he had promised. Do you know I'm at a point in my life when anybody comes up and asks for prayer for healing, I am fully convinced that God is faithful to his word. That if he said that he will heal, he will heal. To me, it's only a matter of time. We have testimonies of people that even, you know, they had issues that had a hard time having children. But today they have children. We have seen people getting healed, delivered. I, for one, was born without earlobes. And my parents prayed for 7 days and earlobes formed on the side of my head. Come on, we serve a God who's alive. He heals us and he is faithful to his word. But Abraham was fully convinced, even though his body was as good as dead, that God is faithful to his promises. I want to encourage you, be fully convinced, no matter what your situation is like, that God is faithful. We don't understand our situation, but he is faithful. We just sang about that. He is a great God, an awesome God, a mighty God, able to save. Come on. In 2013, my parents came here, and they celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. And I remember that at that time, my dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And so we sat down with him, and we worked out this structure of how, you know, we were going to help him transition his church and kind of turn it over to somebody else and help him to retire. And I remember as we were doing that, and I heard that there was a prophet named Bill Hammond in town. So I said, Dad, let's go hear Bill Hammond. So we went to go hear Bill Hammond, and as we were worshiping God, all of a sudden, Bill Hammond stands up, and he stops the worship, and he says, the Lord has a word for a young man with the white hair. You know, he points to my dad, you know, and he says, the Lord says to you, don't retire, refire. The Lord has a great work for you to do. And I'm like, no, you know, and my dad is like, yes, you know, and it was an amazing experience. And I was talking to my mom later about that, and I was like, my dad went back still pastoring the church and all, and my mom said that was the greatest thing that could ever happen to him because that routine just kept him going all these many years as well. And so, you know, what has been inspiring to me about my father is that growing up, I've, you know, I've always seen him praying and reading the Word of God. And at times, you know, as a young kid, I would see him, you know, he'd be laying on the ground and praying, and sometimes I would go up to him as a mischievous kid, you know, and I would just kind of kick him and say, are you awake, Dad? Are you awake, Dad? Then I would hear him like, you know. But anyway, you know, he would always be a man of prayer. But, you know, 6 months ago, I got opportunity to go and go on a holiday with them in New Mexico. And when I was sharing the hotel room with them, and when I woke up, you know, this is what I saw. It was my dad still doing his devotions and praying to the Lord. It's something that I've always seen him do all the days of his life. And even though now he's 76 years old, he's still so zealous in serving the Lord. Come on. And I just love that about him. Can we just give my dad and mom a big hand? And it's such an inspiration, you know, for all of us that no matter how old we are or how young we are, we can still serve the Lord. And it reminded me of my last story I just wanted to share. It was about Caleb. In Joshua 14, you know, they were entering the promised land, and only Joshua and Caleb were the ones that from their generation were able to go into the promised land. Joshua says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea and to spy out the land, and I brought him a word again as it was in my heart. But the brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. You know, they gave a negative report about the promised land. And it says, yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. There is wholeheartedly submitted, you know. And then it says, and Moses swore to me that day, saying, surely the land in which your foot is trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. In verse 10, it says, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. And just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord has spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day of Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. Come on, he said, come on, give me this hill, you know, give me this battle. Man, I'm 85, I'm still going to fight, I'm still going to go forward. And then he says, so now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke to me on this day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there and the great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said. Caleb said, man, if God promised this promised land, I believe he's going to give me the strength. I believe he's going to help me. I believe we're going to see the victory. It didn't matter how old he was, how his body was feeling. Maybe he was kind of walking with a limp. Maybe he was kind of had this bad back, but he was saying maybe he had dentures in his mouth and he had to gum it. You know, he was saying, I'm going to take this hill. You don't come with me. I'm going alone. You know, it doesn't, come on. I can just get inspired by Caleb. You know, and here it is. You know, some of us, we give so much excuses. I don't know enough. I'm too old. I'm too young. I have too much pain. I'm too aching and paining to go to church. I don't know enough to disciple others. Come on. It's the day of stop giving excuses. Come on. It's God has called us at this time and season to go make disciples. He's called us to pray and to step out, not to walk in rebellion, in disobedience. He's called us to walk in obedience. And then we need to cry out and say, Lord, give me my family. It doesn't matter what your family looks like. We need to cry out and say, Lord, give me my family. Lord God, you promised, Lord God, a harvest. You promised salvation. And we need to claim the promise of God, fully devoted, fully convinced that God is faithful to his promises. And if the Lord's called you here to Singapore, we need to cry out and say, Lord, give me my nation. Come on, we're not here by accident. We're not here just to attend church. We're here to reach the nation for Jesus Christ. Come on, we're here to reach the nations and go beyond even the shores here, because God has called us to be his mighty warriors for the kingdom of God. So obedience requires submission, mission, and ambition. And I believe that when we do this, we're going to see a mighty harvest, and God's going to use us for his glory. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. Come on. Let's stand up together. We're going to close in prayer. Come on, just lift your hands to the Lord. Father, I pray for a greater anointing to fill our lives. I pray that you would open our ears to hear you. Lord, you're speaking all the time. And so, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, now open our ears that we'd be quick to obey. Quick to obey, Lord God, the nudgings, Lord, in our spirit when you're saying, go pray for that person or go share with them and that testimony, or go bless them, Lord God, we would be quick to obey. And we thank you, Lord, as we do that, Lord God, we're going to start seeing, Lord God, a multiplying effect, Lord, of blessing and encouragement, greater faith, greater strength upon our lives. I pray for an increase for all of us, Lord Jesus, that, Lord God, even as Abraham walked with a greater blessing and anointing, let us walk with a greater blessing and anointing, knowing that you are with us and you are for us, Lord God. And if you're for us, who can be against us? No circumstance, no situation is too difficult, Lord God, that we would take on the word like Caleb. It doesn't matter what's facing our family. It doesn't matter what we're facing in our job or our school. We know, Lord God, that if you promise that to us, we're going to take it and we're going to see victory, Lord God. So I pray victory in our homes, victory in our schools, victory in our nation, Lord God. We pray for the harvest in Jesus' name, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And we thank you, Lord, that souls will come into your kingdom. Lord, use us for your glory. Now you can put your hands down. And I want to pray for you. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, make the most important decision of your life, can you just lift your hand where you are? And I want to lead you in a prayer to receive Jesus in your heart and life. Father, I thank you for the hands that are raised in this place, in the parents' room, and overflow. And Lord God, I pray now that you would begin to pour out your love upon them. If your hand is raised, if you can just repeat this prayer after me. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and rose from the dead for my sins. Come into my heart, forgive me, and cleanse me, and help me this day to live for you, to serve you with all of my heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I thank you now. Pour out your love upon them. Use them for your glory. Thank you, Lord. Remind them today that now Jesus is in their heart. God, to change them forever. Lord, we bless them and we bless your people today. We thank you, Lord God, for a greater anointing on all of our lives to walk in obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise? Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I want to encourage you that if you receive Jesus in your life, please go to the visitor booth where it says, we're glad you're here, and tell someone that you received Jesus and they'll give you more information about our church. Bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.